This evening. We hope you're all happy and healthy, happy in Krishna consciousness. It's very nice to be here with you all. It's been a long time since I was here. It's nice to see so many of you involved in Krishna consciousness. Now, you may be aware, I'm sure some of you are aware, that on Saturday, it is Gaur Purnima, or the appearance day, the anniversary of the birth of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most recent incarnation of Krishna, who appeared on Saturday. It will be 521 years ago he appeared in Bengal. So this evening our program, even though it's still a few days off, our program is dedicated to this. We are having like a pre-celebration of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Of course, if you're able to come, then on Saturday there'll be a very nice program in our Radharajna temple in Chatsworth, and also in Phoenix for that matter, in our temple there. And on Sunday, in the temple in Phoenix, there will be a deity installation ceremony. Deities of Lord Jagannath, Lord Balaram, and Lady Subhadra, they will be installed there on the altar at our Phoenix temple. Actually, they are the Jagannath deities which we have been using for many years, actually, in our Rath Yatra festivals. I assume many of you have been to some of those festivals, the Durban beachfront particularly, and on the big chariot, the deity is there on the chariot, and during the procession, it is those deities. Normally they're just used in the Rath Yatras, and otherwise they're just kept. They're actually kept in the tower of our temple in Chatsworth. Upstairs, there's a special place where they're kept. And they're only really worshipped during the different Rath Yatra festivals. At the beachfront, at Phoenix, in Johannesburg. And just recently, we had our first Rath Yatra in Cape Town. So generally those Jagannath deities would only be seen at those times, and they would only really be worshipped at those times. But now they're going to be worshipped on a daily basis at our Phoenix temple. So please, I know it's a bit of a drive from here, but try and make the effort. It'll be a good investment of your time. You'll really enjoy it very, very much. Either or both of those programs. A lot better than sitting at home watching television. Much better, I can promise you. So tonight our program is dedicated to Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of Krishna. He appeared, as we said, 521 years ago on this coming Saturday. And so we'll read a verse from Bhagavad Gita, Hare Krishna. And then we will try and give some explanation in connection with Lord Chaitanya. So we're going to read then Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, Text 8. I think some of you will have heard this verse before, famous verse. Lord Krishna says, Paritra naya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samstapa varataya sambhavami yuge. Translation, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So, now we'll read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a fairly extensive purport, so please try to listen carefully. Srila Prabhupada says, according to Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. And dushkrita applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants or dushkrita are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may be neither learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons. But the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudeva were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kamsa. But both were performed simultaneously. Therefore it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. I'll read the verse again. Rutra Naya Sadhina Vinashaya Chadushpitam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swabhagatakam Vachikalpatari Vyastai Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is very relevant in terms of the occasion that we are commemorating this evening, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya within this material world. 521 years ago, it happened in the same terms that Lord Krishna himself is describing here. Lord Krishna, of course, spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But the principles which he describes, they are not simply time-bound, as if they were relevant then, 5,000 years ago, but now, 5,000 years later, now it's old-fashioned. Now it's old-fashioned, and now we should do something which is more up-to-date. Instead of chanting Hare Krishna, we should chant some Bollywood theme song. Kuch Kuch Hota Hai will now replace Hare Krishna. Because Hare Krishna, that's from the old days. And now it's now modern times. So you've got to be with it. So, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, something's happening somewhere. But Krishna and his instructions, they are eternal. And therefore they are as relevant today as they were 5,000 years ago when Krishna spoke these words. And also 521 years ago when Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya. Same thing. Srila Prabhupada, the way he would put it, was that same thing but in new dress. That's all. Same thing. But externally there may be a few superficial differences, but in terms of the essence, what it is really about, it's the same. So here then, Lord Krishna is explaining why he appears. Why he appeared 5,000 years ago. Why he appeared 521 years ago in his most recent incarnation. And all the other times the Lord appears. As he says, Sambhavani, I appear myself, in person, yuge, millennium after millennium. From time to time, the Lord appears. So why? Here, three reasons are given. To deliver the devotees and encourage the devotees and protect them even. then to annihilate the miscreants, all the bad guys, like Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, and company. And then third thing, to reestablish the principles of religion. You must know, we should all know, that Krishna does not come here on holiday. He doesn't come here on holiday to enjoy life and get away from it all and come here to a good place like Fort Shepstone and lie in the sun or do whatever. We won't talk about fishing for sardines because Krishna wouldn't do that. But Krishna is his place, his home, so to speak, is in the kingdom of God. Life there is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. Everything is sublime and wonderful. There are no problems as we face in our lives from time to time. We all know in this world there are many problems. Health problems, financial problems, family problems sometimes, crime problems, political problems, and we don't want to depress anyone, but we should at least be clear that this place, this material world, is not really a place to come, at least for Krishna to come, in order to relax, get away from the pressures of being God and having to do that sort of work and so on, recuperate. No. Krishna, when Krishna appears, he is known as avatar. I think we've all heard this term, avatar. Avatar means one who descends from a higher level to a lower level. One who descends. So Krishna descends into this material world. From that realm, the kingdom of God, much higher, eternal, transcendental realm, very beautiful place. Krishna descends from that place where life is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. He descends to this world. Now, of course, we should also understand that just as Krishna came from there, that much higher place, the kingdom of God, he came here to this place, the material world. We should also know that we have come from the spiritual world, that much better, much higher place. We have also come from there to here. So does that mean that we are also avatars? Not in that sense. Krishna descends. We fall. There's a difference. To descend, you know, down a staircase in a cultured type of way to come down the stairs, as opposed to falling down the stairs. It would be a little spectacular and hurt. So there's a big difference. He descends, we fall. And Krishna elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, he makes the point, oh look, here's our question sheet. If you have a question, write it down. If not, that's okay. Then you just pass it on. But if you have a question, feel free to write it down. So Krishna descends, we fall. And elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes the point that Bahuni mei vyatitani janmani tava Arjuna. That many, many births both you and I have taken in this world, Arjuna. I can remember all of them, but you cannot remember any of them. Like this, Krishna distinguishes between himself and his appearance, and Arjuna, who is like us, basically, a small, limited, living entity, like we all are. So, yes, Krishna makes this point to Arjuna. We have both appeared in this world many times before that we have in common. But I can remember all of them, and you cannot remember any of those appearances. He distinguishes between himself and Arjuna, and us. So, Krishna then, he comes here for these three reasons. To deliver the devotees, destroy the demoniac people, and to re-establish the principles of religion when they become corrupted and irreligion starts to become more prominent. Krishna appears at those times. So, Lord Chaitanya, he appeared 521 years ago. He also appeared for the same reasons. These are eternal principles. Yes. He also didn't come to just relax on the beach at the, what is it, the Hibiscus Coast? Is it? That's what they call it. Got to call it something. No, he doesn't bother with that. He doesn't bother with that. He has something much better. You know, it's very interesting. Here in South Africa, sometimes I meet people that are about to go on holiday. Where? To Mauritius. To sit in the sun. At the Tours Rock, or whatever it is, I forget the name. Some fancy hotel. But then I go to Mauritius also, I go there every year. And I meet some people, they're local Mauritian people, and they're about to go on holiday. You know where they're going? They're coming to South Africa. And they're thinking, oh, we've got to get away from the island. They refer to Mauritius as the island out there. So they want to come here to get away from it all. They're thinking better. Oh, South Africa. Now we'll have a good time in South Africa. But the South Africans are thinking, ah, we will go to Mauritius to get away from it all and have a good time. So in both cases, they're in illusion. This is the material world. And janma mrityu jara vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. These are the prominent factors. You may be rich, you may be poor. You may be poor and you may become rich. Or you may be rich and you may become poor. Who knows? Who knows what your fate will be in the long run? You may be popular, or you may become infamous. You may be healthy, but then you may become very sick. Who knows? We cannot really say. But janma mrityu jara vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease, we can know that we will get those. It is not a matter of maybe I will get older, or maybe I'll just stay young. I'm in the process of becoming older, and my recommendation to all you young people sitting there is stay young. Don't get older, okay? Because it hurts sometimes. Sometimes it really hurts. But we cannot, can we? We cannot stop. These things are inevitable. So many things are not inevitable. They may come or they may not come. Or they may even come and go. Or they may go and come, as they say in Chatsworth. But these things, we must know, they're fixtures, they're permanent features. And because of those things, therefore material life, ultimately, cannot really be so successful. If, at some point, you are guaranteed 100%, that you will definitely lose everything and you will just be destroyed. Does that sound like a good program? You'll definitely be completely destroyed and everything will just be ripped away from you if you follow that way. So it doesn't sound like a very good way, but this is the way of material life. Even Bill Gates with his $50 billion, give him another, 30 years or 35, whatever, years, and he'll also be in the same situation. He'll lose everything. But in the kingdom of God, life is eternal and full of bliss. It is known as Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety and Vai means without. So, best to go there. And here, what Lord Krishna is speaking about, that he comes to deliver the devotees, deliver the pious, it means two things. One is that he comes to protect them. If they get into trouble, then he may intervene and help them to get out of the trouble. That's one meaning, deliver, in that sense. But then another meaning is, he comes to deliver us from this world so we can go to that eternal realm. This is Krishna's business. And here, Prabhupada discusses a little bit these three things that he does. Deliver the devotees, destroy the demons, re-establish dharma. Prabhupada makes the point that in order to destroy the demons, it is not necessary. The Lord does not have to appear to do that. He can do it indirectly, because everyone who has a material body is going to die sooner or later. So if he comes to kill someone, he's just accelerating the inevitable, that's all. Even Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, explained about Ravan. I think we've all heard of Ravan, the arch enemy of Lord Ram. Srila Prabhupada made the point that Lord Ram, who is a form of Lord Krishna, of course, the Lord is within the heart of every living being. All of us, he is within our hearts. He is even within the hearts of the animals. And he was also in the heart of Ravan. Even though it was probably not a very comfortable place to be. Because Ravan was a very hard-hearted person. But the Lord was also within his heart. And there, within the heart, the Lord is present. And he's quite capable of doing whatever he likes. He is not restricted because he's within the heart. He can do anything. So Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he said that if the Lord had wanted to, he could have, being there within the heart, or in the region of the heart of Ravan, he could have simply turned off the switch at Ravana's heart, pulled out the plug. And that would have been the end of Ravana. It is not that the Lord had to appear in order to kill Ravana. And he, he was, that was the only way he could do it. He had to come, he had to go through a great and very tragic experience of having his wife kidnapped and so on. Very desperate, difficult. So many difficult things that apparently Lord Ram went through. And finally a huge battle. And then he managed to rescue Sita, eventually, and kill Ravana. But that was not the only way he could have achieved his goals. It was not the best way. He could have done it by remote control, from anywhere. Switched off Ravana's heart, rescued Sita without having to move an inch. So when it comes to destroying the demons, it is not that the Lord has to appear to do that. Otherwise he would not be able to achieve that. If he didn't come and fight with them, he wouldn't be able to deal with them. That is not the case. He can deal with them. And it's by no other means than the time factor. Eventually they would all pass away eventually anyway. And also, dharma, samsthapanartaya, to re-establish the principles of dharma. It is not that the only person who can re-establish dharma is the Lord himself. No one else can do it. That's not the case. In order to re-establish dharma, different people can do that. Just take, for example, in our cases, take Srila Prabhupada. So many of us were living in the Western world somewhere, involved in very materialistic ways of life. Then we had contact with Srila Prabhupada, and our lives were changed by his influence. We were more or less without dharma, or our dharma was in a deteriorated condition. But by contact with him, we had a dharmic revival. Even many Hindu people don't really know what is Hinduism. Is it this or that, or is it what my grandfather told me, my paternal grandfather? Or is it what my maternal grandfather told me what it was? What is it? So many Hindu people are not clear. Or definitely, many of them have different ideas. But then, through contact with Srila Prabhupada and his movement, so many Hindu people, Christian people, also Muslim people, but their sense of dharma was revived and strengthened so much. And now Krishna consciousness has spread all over the world, which it was not before at all. It was unknown in most parts of the world other than India, going back just 40 years or so. So dharma samsthapanartaya, it is not that the only way that dharma can be re-established is if the Lord himself appears. Of course he also does that, but he is not the only one. So what then is the main reason he appears? That is the first reason. Paritra naya sadhana, to protect the devotees, deliver the devotees, to be merciful to the devotees. Because the devotees, those who already love the Lord, those who are already advanced devotees, here, that they're here within this material world. That Krishna is not here. So they miss, they feel separation from Krishna. And they feel, we want to see Krishna. We really want to have Krishna's association. We haven't seen him for such a long time. The devotees feel like that. And in that situation, the only thing which can address that is if Krishna appears. They won't accept something like second best. You know, if you, someone wants to marry another person, but the other person they want to marry decides they want to marry someone else. And so then that person apologizes. I'm sorry, I can't marry you because I'm going to marry someone else. But don't worry, you can marry my mirror image. Or you can marry a photograph of me. Is that okay? So it's not okay. So for the devotees, they're missing the association of Krishna. And nothing will fill that gap. Nothing will fill that gap other than if Krishna comes and they can associate with him. And Krishna enjoys doing that because it means he has loving relationships. He has very beautiful, happy relationships with his devotees. Therefore, ultimately, the main reason Krishna appears in this world 5,000 years ago or 500 years ago in the case of Lord Chaitanya is for the sake of the devotees. Because for the devotees nothing else will do other than Krishna himself. Killing the demons, it can be done another way. Re-establish Dharma can also be done another way. But this, to appease the feelings of separation of the devotees, nothing else will do other than the Lord himself appearing. So this is ultimately why the Lord appears. And the relation, therefore, we should appreciate that if Krishna would come from that most exalted spiritual realm to this rather unpleasant and difficult place, this material world, if he comes for the sake of the devotees, then the relationships that he has with his devotees, they must be very amazing relationships. Very rich. Just like sometimes a house is on fire and the child somehow is still in the house. But the mother is outside, and what happens sometimes? The house is on fire. But the mother goes rushing into the house to rescue the child. This happens sometimes. Why? Because of the loving relationship. So, the loving relationship between the Lord and his devotees is very deep. And this is what impels the Lord to come even to this difficult material world where there are many people who don't like God and even some people who would like to kill him. You know, when I was a young person, I studied philosophy at university. There's a man called Nietzsche. He was a German philosopher, existentialist. He is the person who invented the slogan, God is dead. Have you heard that one before? So, you know, and he has his followers even to this day. They go around saying, God is dead, God is dead. So how would you like it if you went to a place, and in that place, there are all these people going around saying, you're dead. It's pretty negative, isn't it? A bit depressing. But still Krishna comes. Even some of them try to kill him. But still he comes. And in New York, in the subway, underground railway, there's a famous piece of graffiti. You know, this big writing people make on walls sometimes. It says, God is dead, signed Nietzsche. But underneath, someone else wrote, Nietzsche is dead, signed God. So the Lord, because of the depth of the loving relationships between the Lord and the devotees, therefore he comes. So it's a very personal thing. And if the Lord loves you, and if you love the Lord, then the devotee will do anything for Krishna. And Krishna will do anything for his devotee. Krishna is not just a distant authority figure who everyone has to bow down to. But he interacts in very intimate ways with his devotees. You may know the story of Sudama the Brahmin. He was extremely poor. Actually, he had been at school with Krishna. They were school friends. But then they left school. They finished. Krishna went to Dwarka and became prince. Sudama went home and was living more or less in poverty. And his wife appealed to him that we are so poor. Why? But your old friend Krishna is now a rich prince in Dwarka. Can't you at least go and ask him for some money? If not for ourselves, at least for our children. Because they can't understand why we can't eat properly and so on. They don't understand. So why don't you go ask Krishna for some money? At least so we can feed the children. So Sudama agreed, all right. And it's a long story, but eventually he arrived there and he met Krishna. And they stayed up the whole night just talking, hadn't seen each other for many years. The next morning, Sudama went back home. He was almost home and he realized, oh, I forgot one thing. I forgot to ask for money. He forgot because he just became so absorbed in his interaction with Krishna. He just forgot until he was practically home. So momentarily he was regretful. And he was thinking, oh gosh, my wife is going to complain and so on. But then he thought, no, I'm glad I forgot. Because if Krishna had given me lots of money, I would probably have become materially attached. And I would have wanted a new BMW and new Pierre Cardin clothes and all that. So I'm better off not having those things. I would just forget Krishna and become materialistic. So then he thought, you know, it's good I forgot. And then he got home. Previously they were living in like a hut, a straw thatched hut. He came to that place. There was now a big palace. He couldn't believe it. He thought, maybe I took the wrong turning. And this is someone else's place. But then his wife came out of the palace, beautifully dressed, surrounded by maidservants. And Sudama realized that even though I didn't ask Krishna, but still he understood and he arranged this, even beyond what I was thinking of, because he was just going to get some money to get some more food. But this is now like on a whole different scale altogether. So like this, Krishna interacts with his devotees. He's not just a distant authority figure that we have to bow down to. He responds, he reciprocates. And you're all very nice devotees, so who knows? Maybe when you go home this evening to your little corner of the poor church there, who knows what will be waiting for you there. But of course we are probably not on the level of Sudama, so don't be disappointed if it's just the same old place. But the principle is there that Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. So therefore we should be devotees. We should try to please Krishna and serve him, because then he will reciprocate with us. And then wonderful things can happen in our lives. Our lives can become transformed. Lord Chaitanya, he is Krishna, but he's Krishna acting as a devotee, and one time, Lord Chaitanya, during the rainy season, in India there's the rainy season, usually sort of June, July, August even, like that. So he went and stayed. He was on pilgrimage, traveling in South India. He went and stayed at Sri Rangam. It is the biggest temple in India, in Tamil Nadu. Very, very big place. So he stayed there for those few 3 months or so during the rainy season. And he would go, he was staying with a devotee family, and every day, couple of times a day, he would go visit the temple and have darshan of the deity of Lord Vishnu, Ranganath. And every time that he went in there, every time, a couple of times a day, in, out, every time, just near the entrance of the main temple room itself, on the side, near the entrance, you would see one devotee was sitting there every time. Every day, this devotee was there in the same place. And that devotee was sitting there with some book in front of him, staring at it very intently. And Lord Chaitanya noticed that sometimes tears of ecstasy would be coming from that devotee's eyes. So Lord Chaitanya was very intrigued. Who is this devotee? But then he noticed on some other occasions, the devotee was there reading the book and it was going on in the same way. But sometimes some other devotee would walk past and stop and say something to that sitting, the devotee was sitting down, say something to him, and then laugh. Laugh at the devotee, as if the devotee was doing something stupid, like mocking him. So Lord Chaitanya was wondering, what is going on here? So one day he went and he spoke to that devotee. And he said, he asked him, What are you doing? What are you reading? I see you're here every day. Morning, evening, you're here. And you're always reading. So what are you reading? The devotee told him, I am reading Bhagavad Gita. My spiritual master told me, I must read Bhagavad Gita every day. So therefore, every day, I'm sitting here with my Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, that's very nice. That's very good. But then tell me, why is it, if you are doing such a nice thing, so seriously? Why is it sometimes some of the other devotees come past and they laugh at you as if you're doing something stupid when you're not? You're doing something glorious. So why do they laugh at you? And the devotee said, you know, the reason they laugh is because I am illiterate. I cannot read. And they know that. They know that. So they come past, and then they come and they joke with me. Oh, what verse are you reading? Is it a good verse? And I don't know what verse. I just look at the pages. I don't even know which verse it is. If the book is upside down, I just don't know. So then they laugh at me. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, if that's the case, that you are not actually reading Bhagavad Gita, in fact, you're just looking at the pages and turning the pages, how come you are sometimes, I see, you are crying tears of ecstasy? How is that happening? Why? If you are not actually able to read. And that devotee said that the reason is, what happens is sometimes I turn to the cover of the Bhagavad Gita and I see on the cover the picture. There is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. He is driving the chariot of his devotee, Arjuna. I look at that picture on the cover and it strikes me that Krishna, he is God. Why does he have to drive someone's chariot? You know, it's just like being a driver. It's just a common laborer's job, really. Just like a truck driver or one of these crazy taxi drivers. You know, it is not a very high position in life to be a driver. But Krishna, even though he is God, and everyone should be worshipping him, but he is driving the chariot of his dear devotee Arjuna, because he is so merciful to his devotees. So that devotee told Lord Chaitanya that I sometimes look at this picture and I just think how merciful, how kind Krishna is to his devotees, and I just become overwhelmed and I cry. How merciful, how kind Krishna is to his devotees. So this is why sometimes you see tears coming from my eyes. So Lord Chaitanya responded. Lord Chaitanya said that I can see that even though you are illiterate, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya said, not only have you understood Bhagavad Gita, but you are the authority on Bhagavad Gita. You are actually the authority on the subject. So this is a very important point. Krishna is very kind to his devotees. This is really why he comes to this world. Not just to kill people. That can be done one way or another, or they'll kill each other. They'll kill themselves. Not just to re-establish Dharma. Some great devotee or great spiritual person can come and reawaken Dharma. That it's possible, it happens. But to give mercy to the devotees, this is the Lord's special business. So therefore we should all be devotees. I know many of you are devotees and some of you are trying to systematically practice Krishna consciousness, that's good. It's very good. Some of you may just have some sort of mild or more mild interest, but not really be involved on a regular ongoing basis. But we would encourage all of you, try and get more involved. Because, you know, they say sometimes, whatever you put in, you get out. And so we shouldn't just be like onlookers, spectators, when it comes to Krishna consciousness. We should try and get into it, get involved, get absorbed. And then we will see the benefit we get in our lives by the mercy of Krishna. Just let me close by giving you one example in this regard. This is a very true example. Now I know the majority of you are working people, business people, and you work hard, I'm sure in many cases, in order to keep yourself alive. But by Krishna's mercy, me, this person sitting in front of you, I'm still alive, as you can see. I haven't worked. You know what I did? When I was 21, I retired. Seriously. And I have not worked since I was... Well, I haven't actually worked since I was 20. But I haven't starved to death yet, have I? Yeah, and this is actually a fact. Trying to engage in the service of the Lord, and He is taking care. So just as He's taking care of me and so many other devotees, He can also take care of you. And not just like take care in the sense of the basics, but like with Sudama. You never know. Srila Prabhupada would say that Krishna, we have two hands. Krishna has eight hands. If He wants to take from you with His eight hands, how will you be able to stop Him with your two hands? But if He wants to give you with His eight hands, how will you be able to hold it with your two hands? So, yes, it's very exciting and very extremely nice to be engaged regularly in Krishna's service, chanting His holy names, associating with His devotees, participating in the different programs. It's very nice. So we recommend to all of you, please, get more into it. Those of you who are already into it, get more into it. Those of you who are not, you know, like friends, you're like friends, but not really regularly involved, get involved and see what happens. Yes, it's very nice. So Lord Chaitanya appeared 521 years ago on Saturday, particularly to give the process, which is the main process for nowadays, that is the chanting of the holy names. So we encourage all of you, we encourage all of us, chant the holy names, particularly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is the Maha Mantra, the great mantra. And if you chant nicely, Krishna will hear you. Krishna will hear you anyway. Prabhupada would say, you should chant just like a child who is crying for the mother. Our children have not given a demonstration yet this evening. We were waiting for that. But I think you all know what I mean. When the child decides, I need my mother like now, that serious crying for the mother, we should try and chant in the same way. calling out to Krishna, you please be merciful, please help me. So if we do that in this day and age, follow these teachings of Lord Chaitanya by chanting, particularly chanting, then we'll get Krishna's mercy. In many ways, even in many ways we didn't expect, or like Sudama, even in ways we didn't even ask for. But Krishna knows, and he's always willing to go the extra mile or 10 miles for his devotee. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry, I've been going on too long. We'll answer a question or two, and then we'll carry on. Why do you chant on those beads? It's so we can keep track of how many times we've chanted, that's why. So it's basically, yeah, a numerical consideration. Because we know, well, it's always good, you know, you can always say, well, I'll just chant all the time. But many things happen in our lives, and sometimes we cannot just chant all the time. And we may find we end up just not chanting very much, because we've got so many things going on in our lives. But if we have our beads, and we know that I should chant so many times, then we'll be able to see, how am I doing today? Have I really been chanting properly or not? So that's the basic idea. How can we best serve Lord Chaitanya and Gopalila? And always. Well, I think the first thing is, you can chant, as we said. And the second thing is, you can try and help other people to get the opportunity of Krishna consciousness. People you work with, friends, family, people you just happen to meet. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. If you try regularly to speak to people or give people some literature, like on a daily basis, say at least one person in a day, I will try and say something to them about Krishna consciousness, then you'd be surprised how many people respond. You'd be really surprised. Many people are looking for this, but they don't know exactly where to find it. At what age must one start chanting? You should start chanting at whatever your age is today. Let's see. Please share your favorite pastime of Lord Chaitanya. What I'll do, you know what I'll do? I will tell you a pastime. It is not of Lord Chaitanya himself directly, but it is of some of his devotees recently who were spreading Krishna consciousness on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. This is an interesting story. Listen to this. It was maybe 20 years ago. Some of our devotees were distributing books in some town in America. But they didn't know that right at that time, some bank robbers were robbing a bank in the same town. They didn't know. And they didn't know that those bank robbers were driving a vehicle, a van, which was absolutely identical to the van they were driving. Just totally. Same model, color, everything. Even the number plate. In America, the number plates have the state, as well as the number they have the state, like California, something, something, number. So they were from Michigan, Detroit. So on their number plates, it said Michigan, and then the number. And those bank robbers, their van, the number plates, it also said Michigan. Extraordinary coincidence. So the devotees, that night, they were sleeping in the van. Sort of like a camper van sort of thing. They were sleeping in the van. Suddenly, at around midnight, they were woken up. There was noise all around them. There were helicopters flying above them. And there were spotlights shining on them. And they couldn't figure out what is going on here. Then they looked out, they saw there were loads of policemen with machine guns all surrounding them. So anyway, they got out of the van, and the chief policeman came over with a machine gun. He was about, you know, like 7 feet tall, about that wide, all muscle, plus a machine gun. And a few of his comrades, they came over to the devotees, and they said, "Who are you? We know who you are. You robbed the bank, didn't you?" The devotees had not heard about this bank robbery yet. But they said, "What? Us? Rob a bank? No. We're the Hare Krishnas." And the policeman, big policeman, he said, "You're what? You're Hare Krishnas?" "No, I don't believe it." And the devotees, the leader of the devotees, said, "Yes, we're really Hare Krishnas. We're distributing our books. See, we're here distributing our books." And the policeman, big policeman, took one book, he was looking through it. And he was saying, "Hare Krishnas, you are Hare Krishnas. Yes, we're Hare Krishnas." And then that big policeman walked right up to that devotee. They were like, literally like 2 inches separating. And the big policeman was looking down at the little devotee who was looking up. And the big policeman, you know what he said? He said, "All glories to Srila Prabhupada." Because he was a devotee policeman. So anyone can be a devotee. Anyone can be a devotee. There are no limitations. Rich, poor, educated, not educated, male, female, old, young, any nationality or whatever. All these things are irrelevant. Krishna consciousness is there within the heart of every living being. We just need to bring it out through chanting the holy names and rendering service to the Lord. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.